Scripture reading this morning will be from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Good morning. It's great to see everybody today, as always. It's good to welcome everybody. It's wonderful to see Neil and Jay Lynn back. Good to see you folks. And I think I saw Monty. Good to see Monty back with us here today. And Debbie, after your trip, it's great to have you back. We miss you. It's a lot of traveling going on. And I know whenever I do this, I always miss somebody. So I really apologize in advance about that, because I'm sure I probably just miss someone. But we want to welcome Ken and Jean Fox. They've just come back from a trip overseas. They have been on a mission trip. I've been seeing a little bit of it on Facebook. And they're on their way back. Well, I guess you came back from Mesa for the weekend with their be with their granddaughters. And they serve the Lord's church there as an elder. Ken serves as an elder there. So we welcome them. It's good to be together today, to be able to praise the Lord together. You ever have a problem with forgetfulness? I do. I forget stuff all the time. I just forgot to mention Michael's here. I see him sitting right there. Sorry, good to see you. I knew that would happen if I started, but I forget. I forget things all the time. You ever forget where you put your keys? I put my keys in the same place every time I come home, every single time. But then sometimes I go to find them, they're not there. They got somewhere else that time. Or how many of you have called your cell phone number because you can't find your cell phone, and you're hoping you didn't put it on silent because you'll never be able to locate it? You know, you lose things. You lose track of things. You forget things. I meet somebody, and I forget their name. And this is frustrating because I'm talking like I forget their name in like 5 seconds. I don't mean I forget their name a day later. I forget their name in 5 seconds. They just told me. I can't ask them again. We're still in the conversation, and I've already forgotten their name. Some of you will remain nameless. Don't remember to turn the stove off. You have a few stove burners here, I know. I won't name anybody right now. If you forget a birthday or an anniversary, that can be really tricky. Ellen and I recently forgot. This is like a mortal sin. We forgot one of our grandchildren's birthdays. I know, can you believe it? We're going to come forward today, so don't worry. But we didn't forget the birthday. We knew it was her birthday. We just forgot to send the present. So we're really glad that Rebecca liked her dolly a week late. So, boy, but you just feel like a wretch when you forget something. I had to get that out. I had to confess that. Sometimes I forget to do something. 3 weeks ago, I was preaching on the cross, how the cross is central to our faith. And I meant, at the very beginning of that lesson, to point out my complete reliance in that sermon on a particular person whose thoughts were very much reflected in that sermon. In the book, and I forgot. I forgot to tell you. And I went away thinking, everybody, and I hate plagiarists, you know, but I thought, I pretty much lifted my sermon from a book by John Stott on the cross of Christ, probably the finest book other than the Gospels written on the cross. And so now I've remembered to do that. So if you were wondering about that and why I didn't give Stott credit, that I just forget. I get up sometimes, leave the room and go into another room. And then I think, what in the world am I doing in here? I've totally forgotten. 9 times out of 10, I cannot remember what I came in that room to do. So if you can identify with any of those things, maybe you'll be a little understanding toward me today, because I did something I've never done in like over 40 years. I forgot to do a sermon this week. I mean, that's really embarrassing, isn't it? So we'll get out a little early today. you got your song ready? Now, you know that's, you know, you wish that were true, but no, that was just a joke. But we forget. And we forget sometimes when we don't even want to forget, but we forget. And one of the great dangers in the life of a disciple, a follower of Jesus, is We forget who God is. We forget what God has done for us. It's not like we've lost the facts. If somebody were to ask us, it's not like we don't know the information anymore, but sometimes we just fail to focus and to call certain things to mind. We don't keep them before us and ponder them and reflect on them so that those truths can shape us and can motivate us and can really be our anchor and our ground for our lives. Sometimes that just tends to happen. You consider the troubles of Israel. Throughout all of the Bible, the troubles of Israel so often are a result of the fact that they've forgotten God. They just forget. They forget. They forget that they were slaves in Egypt. They forget that God led them out through the plagues and the Passover, and that He parted the Red Sea, and that He cared for them in the wilderness, and that they came into a covenant there with God. They forget their covenant. They sometimes forget that God called their forefather Abraham and chose his descendants as His chosen people through whom to bring the Messiah. They forget the very special role that they have in God's plan of redemption. And it's to their shame and to their loss, and at times to their own judgment, that they forget God and they fail to be shaped by that spiritual memory of who they are and who God is in relationship to them. And it can happen to us. It's not something we ever set out to do, but it can just subtly happen. And sometimes it's just through the routine of life. Day in, day out, we do the same things. We have our routines. Whatever your routine is, if you're working, if you're retired, you have a routine. You get up, you do your things, you have responsibilities. And in the carrying out of those responsibilities, you're busy, you're active, you have all sorts of things going on in your life. And routine just has a way sometimes of getting us to lose track of the things that are really important to us. And it's not like there's some nefarious evil thing going on in our lives, but we just can subtly, slowly drift away and stop thinking about God. And we think, and it's been a while since I've really prayed. I mean, I'm not talking about saying my prayer at mealtime or what, but I've lost track of my prayer time. Where I've just not been focusing on God, or maybe a day's gone by, or a week's gone by, or maybe sometimes it could be a month that goes by, and we think, you know, I just really haven't been in God's Word. What's going on? What's happening in my life? And like Israel, having its surroundings making an impact on them, and sometimes the nations and the culture around them making an impact on them, where they forget their way and they lose their heart for God. The same thing can happen to disciples of Jesus Christ today. That's one of the reasons we get together today, isn't it? That's why the church comes together on the first day of the week. That's why we partake of the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Think of the words you sang just a moment ago. Lest I forget. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget Your love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Take me to the cross. Come back to the table. Eat the bread, drink from the cup, remember the blood of Jesus. That's why we come together. That's why we assemble on Sunday nights, on Wednesday nights for our Bible studies, to come together as a family, to be in the Word of God, to let God speak to us, to pray together, to encourage each other. That's why at times we get together in one another's homes, whether it's for Bible study or just times to connect as brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage each other, because we realize that though this is an individual matter to a certain degree, it's also a community matter, because we're a community of faith. And in this community, we encourage each other to remember us. We encourage each other to be focused on God. And it's so important that we do. And what happens when you do? When you keep God center in your mind, when you think about God and His works and His nature, and you reflect on that and you draw close to Him in prayer, when you spend time in the Word, when that's just a part of your life, you have a tendency to just want to praise and worship the Lord. It just overflows because you're thinking about God and you're centered on Him. And God is your focus, and your life comes into perspective. And it has a way of keeping the world in its proper place because you're considering the mighty works of God in your life. It stirs you up to want to be committed to Him, to be devoted to God. Because when you stop and really think about who God is and truly ponder His great and mighty works toward you personally, your heart overflows with the desire to praise God, to give Him praise and to give Him worship for everything that He's done, and to declare His praises to others. And in doing this, it doesn't change whatever circumstances may be going on in your life that may be difficult circumstances at the time, but it puts everything in perspective and it keeps God at the center. And it keeps you and me filled with love and with zeal and with a determination to be faithful, to remember our covenant, and to be thankful to God for what He's done. Today and this evening, we're going to be looking at three passages of Scripture from the Apostle Paul and from the Apostle Peter that remind us simply of who God is and what God has done for us, and help us to reflect on that. And I've chosen these particular passages really for the words that unite them, because each of them begins with the same words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you read what follows in these passages, you recognize that these are inspired reflections on the character of God and on the grace and works of God in our life. We begin with Ephesians chapter 1. Tim read the opening of this a few moments ago. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. This is quite a reading. This is one of the most amazing passages of praise in all of Scripture, and there's no way to get every little detail. But today, just kind of let this passage wash over you. Just hear what Paul says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory, and that you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. You talk about a doxology, a word of praise to the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 1 praises God and plumbs the depths of God's saving works toward us. We just hit the high points today. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in every spiritual realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The spiritual realms, the heavenly realms. Paul talks about the heavenly realms a lot in Ephesians 1. We have been lifted up now, presently, though we live here on earth, spiritually, we have been lifted up into the heavenly realms. The heavenly realms in Ephesians is where Christ Himself is seated at the right hand of God. Paul will say, that's where we are now seated with Christ, in the heavenly realms. It's in the heavenly realms that the authorities and the powers of this universe look on and see what God is doing in Christ Jesus for the church. It's in the heavenly realms that the spiritual warfare takes place. That's a part of our life every day, that the Holy Spirit gives us strength to combat the evil one. We have been lifted up into the heavenly realms with Jesus Christ Himself, and we have received every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. The hope of Christ, the joy of salvation, the presence of God, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of sins, the answers to prayer, the assurance of salvation, every spiritual blessing, name them, name any blessing in Christ, they're ours because of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's lifted us up by faith into the heavenly realms and has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, because we have been chosen in Christ before creation to be holy and blameless in the sight of God. God predestined us to adoption through Jesus Christ to be His children. Because Paul said, this is God's pleasure and goodwill toward you. This is what God has wanted to do for you from the very beginning of time. As a kid, I didn't have a real good experience with being chosen. My environment for being chosen as a kid was at recess or at PE in grammar school. I know it's going to be really hard for you to believe this as you look at the physical specimen that stands before you today, but I wasn't all that, you know, physically coordinated as an athlete when I was in elementary school. And, you know, it hit much, much later, you know, much, much later. But so when it came time for being chosen, oh, you're captain. Okay, let's choose up team. Like, who thought of that? Who thought of how can we just really humiliate a certain group of kids in the school? I don't know who came up with choosing teams, but I never really cared for it very much. And there was Robert Bailey. Robert Bailey was in most of my classes in elementary school. And I'm so thankful for Robert Bailey. And I hate things for Robert Bailey, because see, Robert Bailey and I were about equal when it came to athletic ability, but Robert Bailey was even more socially awkward than me, and so Robert tended to be the absolute last guy who got on a team, so I was like second to last when it came to being chosen, and I hated it if Robert was sick, you know. I'd say, you know, Robert, if Robert were here, he'd be the next, but you know, it was just the way it was. I didn't get chosen. Well, I did, but it was like last. So that's not really being chosen now, is it? And Paul says, you know, before the foundation of the world, God chose you, Richard. He chose you in Christ to be holy and blameless. He predestined that you could be adopted as His child to the praise of His glory. God chose you. God loves you. God provided for you. And I say, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God for choosing us in Christ, for the adoption of sons, children of God, sons and daughters of God. This is what God has done for us. And Paul goes on to say, remember, because you have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, forgiven of your sins. God lavished you with His grace, he said. He didn't just, you know, give you, God lavished us with His grace. He withheld nothing that we needed for forgiveness or for blessing. And in wisdom and understanding, He showers us with grace. And He's even made known to us the mystery of His will that He is bringing about through Christ Jesus. We know God revealed to us what's happening, where the world's going, where He's taking everything. He told us. He's revealed it to us in Christ. And that is that God is taking this whole world, heaven and earth, He's bringing it all together again, renewing everything and putting it under the headship of Jesus Christ Himself. Paul says, that's what God made known to you. That's what you've come to understand, and God has brought you into that. That's where God is taking you, into glory with Him. And you've heard this. You've believed this gospel. And because of that, you are now sealed with the Holy Spirit Himself, God's indwelling presence within you, the very down payment of the inheritance that one day you will receive. Paul says, that's what God has done. That's who God is. That's how much He loves us. That's how much He cares for us. And what do you do when you hear that? What do you and I do when we hear about God's eternal love for us, His choosing us, the forgiveness of sins, every spiritual blessing? You fall down before Him. You praise Him. You worship Him. You give Him thanks for everything. You say, God, here's my life. I don't have anything to give in response to what You've done, but I give You everything. I give You everything I am. And you devote yourself to God because you long to, because you love Him, because He's done so much for you, and He's made your life so meaningful. And it just causes us to long to sing his praises and to remember him and to give him praise for what he's done. I'd like to ask you now just to take a moment to do what I think is so natural after we read Ephesians 1, and that's to sing a song of praise.
I will worship with all of my heart. I will praise you with all of my strength. I will sing you all of my praise. I will follow all of your grace. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I want to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. I will bow down and take you as I will serve you, give you everything. I will lift up my eyes to the throne. I will trust you, I will trust you alone. I will give you all my I will give you all my praise. You alone I want to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
Praise him. We want to praise him for what he's done. It just flows out from our lives. Another word of praise comes from the Apostle Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. David read the first part of this just a moment ago. And hear what Peter has to say in verses 3 through 9, beginning with those same words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of our salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while now you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, but these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter writes to this community in exile, these new converts who are living in a pagan world, and they become strangers in their own town, in their own families, some of them, because they're the lone converts, and people wonder what's happened to them. And Peter begins this amazing letter with a song of praise and just says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what God has done for you. Look at the blessings that you have in Christ Jesus. In God's great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. How much hope you find in the world. Look around the world today. Look what's going on in our world. How much hope do you find in the world? Look at the political system of the United States of America. How much hope does that bring forth in your heart today? Look at the international problems that we face. How much hope does that spread? The world has a way. I'm not saying everything in the world is bad, but I'm just saying the world has a way of dashing our hopes and disappointing us. But Peter says we have a living hope because we have a living Savior. Jesus Christ came out of the grave, and he's our Lord and Savior, and so we have come out of the grave, not just eternal life after the resurrection at the end, but we have life now. We've come up out of spiritual death, and we have a living hope in Christ Jesus, born into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Some of you have seen some of my inheritance. I'm like the prodigal son, and then I got some of my inheritance early. I hope I'm not like the prodigal son in other ways, but I got some of my inheritance early, and many of you have seen it. It's a 1968 Dodge Dart. And when I got that inheritance, I was so proud. My grandpa's last car, car my dad drove after my grandpa passed. And man, I took care of it. I got it reupholstered. I got some paint done on it. I got it looking pretty good. And if you've seen it lately, the clear coat has completely come off of the paint. The rear bumper is just about totally rusted out. And even though JR has given me a new manifold, thank you very much, I still haven't replaced the manifold, and it makes quite a noise when I drive it. My kids are going to be fighting over my inheritance. They're going to be fighting to see who doesn't get stuck with it, I think. Who doesn't get stuck? Because as sentimental as this car is in my mind, well, we'll see. We'll just see what the future holds. You never know. You get a new owner, a new paint job, you never know. I'm kind of, you know, for those who do want it, they have to be kind of nice to me in the meantime just to see who gets it. But to have an inheritance that doesn't rust, that doesn't perish, that doesn't spoil, that doesn't fade, that never loses its glory. And not only that, but it's reserved. It's ready. It's there. It's waiting in heaven for you, Peter says. And then he says, and by the way, not only has God kept the inheritance for you, God's keeping you for your inheritance, because God is shielding you by his power. Because of your faith, God is shielding you. God is going to make sure that you make it to your inheritance. God is going to watch over you. He's going to care for you. You live faithfully with God. You're not going to lose that. He will shield you with his power, and he will bring your inheritance to you. That's the assurance that we have. And Peter says, yes, right now you may be having all kinds of trials. You may be suffering grief in a variety of ways. But stop and think about it, Peter says. And he writes to people who were being very persecuted at the time. He says, stop and think about it. What's going on with these trials? Even your trials are refining your faith. They're giving you an opportunity to be faithful and to persevere through that moment. And you know what's going to happen if you do that? Peter says, when Jesus comes back, and you've been faithful to him, and you stuck it out, and you depended upon God, and you allowed God to bring you through that trial victoriously and by his power, your very life will result in glory and praise to Jesus Christ when he comes back for you. Not because of some great thing in ourselves, but because we've been faithful to God, and God has given us power to come through. And our very lives, saved by Jesus Christ himself, result in glory and praise to him because of the power that's been unleashed in our lives to bring us through. And Peter says, no, you haven't seen Jesus yet. You haven't laid eyes on him. And maybe if we were back in Ephesians 1, Peter would say, you know, you haven't seen with your physical eyes these heavenly realms into which I've told you already have been lifted up with Jesus Christ, but you believe it. You know it. And you love him. You love this Lord of yours, and you believe these words. And because of that, no matter what's going on right now in your life, your heart is filled with an inexpressible joy because you're receiving the goal of your faith. How can you not be filled with joy when you're receiving the goal of your faith, Peter says. And he reminds us the goal of our faith is the salvation of our souls. And that's going on now. Not just one day, but right now, the Lord is bringing about the salvation of our souls. The salvation from sin and its impact now in our lives as we live for him, and ultimately eternal life in the presence of God. And so Peter says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he's done. Consider who he is and what he has done for us. Every spiritual blessing, Paul says, every spiritual blessing in Christ is yours. And we remember it. We call it to mind. We reflect on it. We think about it over and over again. We remember who God is. We remember his mighty works. And our lives get centered on Christ. in our hearts, in the midst of whatever is going on in our lives, get filled with joy and a desire to praise and worship God, because we're focused on who He is and what He's done. And we're reminded of what's important in life. And we're especially reminded of how fleeting the world is and the things that we can get so worked up about in this life, how truly small they are in the scope of the plans of a God who's bringing everything in heaven and on earth under one head, even Jesus Christ. It kind of has a way of putting this world in perspective and reminding us that that's what our life is about. Our lives are caught up into this eternal plan of God, to be people who proclaim these blessings to others who don't know them, to tell people who don't know the Lord who He is, and to proclaim this gospel. This is what motivates us to be obedient. This is what keeps us devoted to Christ. And we offer up today a sacrifice of our lips, but more importantly, as this week begins, may every day we offer up the sacrifice of our lives. Living sacrifices, our very bodies, living sacrifices to God because and in response to what He's done for us. Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a great day in our country because we remember people who paid such a high price to secure freedoms that we hold dear. And as citizens of a country, it is right and good that we do this. How much more should we remember our God, our Maker, our Creator, our Father, our Redeemer, who created us out of dust, put His Spirit within us, creating us for relationship, sending His Son to die for us, and then blessing us not only with heaven one day, but with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus now. How could we ever forget? How could we ever lose track of that? And when we remember how it impacts our life every day, let us not forget. Let us remember who our God is. Let us remember His mighty works. And if you're at a point in your spiritual life right now, where you've just maybe kind of drifted a bit, where you're just not, you know, you just haven't really been focused on God, haven't been thinking about Him, haven't just let Him be the driving force in your life because you've been distracted by other things, then stop today and refocus and spend some time in prayer to God today and get your life centered back on Him. That's something we all do. This is what we do all of the time when we come together in our own times at home and in our private prayer life and study life, is to keep focused on God. And if you're here today and have never really come to know this amazing relationship and blessing in Christ Jesus, if you believe He's the Son of God, come today and confess that. Bow to His Lordship. Be baptized into Him. Be forgiven of your sins. Receive the Spirit of the living God. And begin your life in the kingdom, living with the assurance of salvation with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every blessing in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God forever and ever, world without Him. If you need to respond to Him, come as we stand, as we sing.